10th chapter of Luke. I love it when God speaks to us. And I love it when God speaks to me when I am preparing for a message, or if I'm trying to find direction for a message. And you know, a lot of preachers, what they do, and I'm not saying one way's right or one way's wrong, a lot of preachers, what they do is, you know, they will plan their sermons weeks and months in advance. You know, I get my manna one day at a time. And I get my sermons almost that way. And this past week, I believe it was on Monday. It was Monday. And I was sitting with the Lord. And I had decided that I was going to continue the message, the sermon that I had preached last week, where the man who is lame is on a stretcher and he's let down through the roof of a house by four of his friends. The tiles are removed and he's let down to where he's right on the floor in the front of Jesus. And I decided, I just kept sensing that's where I was supposed to go. And so the Lord led me to this 10th chapter of Luke, where Mary's at the feet of Jesus. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I wish I could remember the word that was in my head and I was reading in the text, but I'm reading the text and I listen to music when I sit with the Lord, and it just blesses my heart. It draws me close to the Lord. I listen to Christian music, and the song, there's actually two songs back to back about, one of them was, I remember the one, it said, "Beneath the cross of Jesus, beneath the cross of Jesus we lay," or something like this. And then the next one was, "We cry, holy, holy, holy." I can't remember the rest of it. I'm not good with the words in songs, but while I'm reading the text, the word that I'm reading is in the song. You know, it's like I'm reading the text and the word that I'm reading, they're singing. And it happened back to back, you know, and I just said, "Thank you, Lord." And, you know, today I want to talk to you about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Had I not been sitting at the feet of Jesus on Monday morning, I wouldn't have had that blessing. Now, we still may be in Luke chapter 10, but I wouldn't have gotten that blessing. You know, you're here this morning. You chose to be here. And some of you are here, and you have different struggles and different issues. And maybe you decided, you woke up this morning with a headache. And you almost slept in. You said, "Oh, I just don't feel right. I just don't feel good." And then some others may have thought, "Oh, this bed feels so good." And yet what you did is you came to church. You came here. You know what? It's like, see, you chose that. You chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And when we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, there's blessings. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let's look how Mary received her blessings. "Now as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to Jesus and she said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me.' And I can assure you that it was said just like that. then I can also assure you that there's this pause as Jesus gently corrects Martha. The Lord answered, and he said to her, Martha, Martha. See, he repeats her name. That's his correction. Martha, Martha. You are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part. She'll not be taken away from her. If you want to sit at the feet of Jesus, you have to crack the door of your heart. You know, if you can just think about a room that's filled with darkness and you want to get some light in that room, and let's just even suppose that there's no source of light inside the room, but it's just all dark, and the only light's outside the room. And if you just crack that door just a little bit, light will pour through that room. Well, you know, when it comes to sitting at the feet of Jesus, you have to crack the door of your heart open. The door's got to be cracked open just a little. It's like if you look at verse 38 in the text, what you find is this. It says, now as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a certain village. What the text is saying is that Jesus was just passing through the town. He was just passing through. He wasn't going to Martha's house. He was passing through town. And it just so happened that in the passing through of town that Martha came along in front of Jesus. Now, we don't know how Martha came to know about Jesus. We don't know how the family came to know Jesus. We just know the text just tells us it is, by the way, in Bethany, a little small village outside of Jerusalem. But the text says that Jesus was passing through that little village, probably on his way to Jerusalem. And while he's passing through, what happens is Martha welcomes him into her house. And so what happens is because Martha welcomes Jesus into her house, then what happens is that Martha and Mary have the opportunity to welcome Jesus Christ into their life. In fact, if you think about the story in the text, Mary and Martha, and probably Lazarus, although Lazarus is not mentioned in this particular verse, they are all in like a one-room house, maybe two at the most. And Mary and Martha are probably in the same room. Martha is over on one side, perhaps with like the kitchen, and Mary and is seated at the feet of Jesus along with the rest of the disciples. They're both in the same room. And yet only one of them is able to find their way to sit at the feet of Jesus. Okay? So it's like, just take for example this morning. Just because you're in this room doesn't mean that you are sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, certainly because you are here, you have the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. Okay? But even though we are here, what can happen to us is what happens to Martha, because Martha has gotten distracted. Now, in this particular text, Martha's distraction is that she is fixing lunch or supper or dinner. What is it for all these people? And so in the midst of her preparations, the text says that Martha gets anxious about it, and that distracts her from being seated at the feet of Jesus. However, Mary is not. It is as if Mary has distractions as well. But Mary's distractions don't keep her from being seated at the feet of Jesus. For example, here's what Mary's distractions are. One of Mary's distractions is that women were not allowed to learn in that day and time. The things of God were limited to the men. Mary was out of place seated at the feet of Jesus. Yet Mary is there. Mary had to put aside the protocol of the day. of the male society of the day. She had to put that aside, put that distraction aside in order to be present and being and seated at the feet of Jesus. Not only she had to put aside that protocol, what Mary had to also put aside was how Martha was thinking about Mary sitting there. Because you can believe that Mary knew that her sister was upset with her because she wasn't in the kitchen. But Mary saw something that was more important. And so she sat at the feet of Jesus. You know, it's in the time that we live in, there's not a single one of us that doesn't have distractions that keep us from sitting at the feet of Jesus. It sort of reminds me of the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, what's happened is Jesus is passing through Jericho. Not Bethany, but Jericho. And because he's passing through Jericho, what happens is there's this big crowd in Jericho, a little small village. And apparently there's people on both sides of the street. And the text tells us about Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus was curious. He'd heard about Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. But the problem that Zacchaeus had was he was a very little man. And because Zacchaeus was a very little man, he could not see over the people that were in front of him. And so you know what Zacchaeus does in order to see Jesus? He climbs up a sycamore tree. And you have this little short, probably rotund man, and he is up in a sycamore tree because he wants to see Jesus. Jesus is just passing through. That's all he is. He's passing through. And so what happens is Jesus sees Zacchaeus, who has demonstrated he wants to see Jesus. He'll climb up a tree to see Jesus. So Jesus says to Zacchaeus, he says, Zacchaeus, come on down, because today I'm going to have dinner with you. And when Jesus leaves Zacchaeus' house, he is a new person. He is a new man. He has experienced life. Jesus was passing through Bethany. Jesus is passing through Jericho. And in both of these situations, we have people who choose to be seated at the feet of Jesus. You see, something can happen to us. Maybe it's just our curiosity. Sometimes it's an accident. You know, if you think about what Mark said a minute ago about how he came to know Jesus Christ, it's really were four people who he overheard by accident that led him to the place where he could open his heart to Jesus Christ, to the place where we could say that Mark is now seated at the feet of Jesus. Because you see, it's like God wants to know our hearts. He wants to reach our hearts. And so whatever will keep us from opening our hearts to Christ, God wants to move it out of the way. But what he does is like a closed door, and it's got a knob on one side only, and you are the one who turns that knob and opens that door. If you want to sit at the feet of Jesus, you're going to have to lay aside your distractions. You see, it's nothing wrong about preparing a good meal for Jesus. I mean, if you think about the text, think about it. I mean, Martha is serving the Lord. Martha is serving the Lord, and you would say that's a perfect thing to do. In fact, there are other passages where women are preparing meals for Jesus and his disciples, and they are commended for that. So let's mistake exactly what Jesus is saying when he says Martha was distracted by her preparation. Because you see, I can be distracted. You can be distracted. Lots of things can happen in our lives to cause us to be distracted. You know, this past week, I think it was Wednesday, I was leaving the church. It's Wednesday night, and after Bible study, and one of the staff persons said to me, "Hey, because I'd sent them an email, told them something I wanted to meet with them about. They said to me, hey, I got tomorrow morning open, like 7:00. Can you meet tomorrow morning?" I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "I'm not giving up my quiet time for church business." Well, what's wrong with church business? Well, nothing. See, that's exactly what the text is saying. See, Nothing wrong with serving Jesus a meal. But there's a better portion, see? It's like food I eat. Food you eat. A lot of food, all food that we eat just about, I think anyway, will fill us up. But there's certain foods that are better for us than others. You know, if I fill up on potato chips and dip, I'm not so sure that's really the best food for me to fill up on. You know, as a diabetic, there's certain foods I ought to stay away from. And they'll still fill me up if I eat them, but that's not the best food for me. You know, what Jesus is saying to Mary Martha, he says, you know what, you got to choose the right food. You know, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted from something that's going to keep you from being seated at the feet of Jesus. You know, I have learned something in my quiet time. And I've shared with you many times before that the time that I love to be with the Lord is early in the morning. That's the time I want to be with the Lord. But here's what I've learned. I've learned that if I come into my office at 6 o'clock in the morning and my intention is to spend some time in the Word of God and to spend some time in prayer, I have learned that there will be one distraction. If I go to that one place, I will not sit at the feet of Jesus. If I open up my computer, I will not sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, I'll open my computer up and I'll see what the score of the ball game is first. I want to know if the Orioles won last night. Or, you know, in California, whatever. I can do that, or I can check my emails, or I can check what the news is. You see, but I've learned, and those are all good things, see? They're all good things, but it's like I've got to decide whether or not I want to live today. I've got to decide whether or not I'm going to experience abundant life today. You see, when Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, what he's saying is the way I begin my day has more to do with the way I end my day than anything else. You know, when we look at the Old Testament, the Father said that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And then he gives the people manna. He gives the people manna, and he says he tells the children of Israel to go out and get manna every day. He says you don't get 2 days worth. If you get 2 days worth, then what's going to happen? What you have left over is going to spoil. No, you have to take manna only for the day. I have learned and discovered that when it comes to sitting at the feet of Jesus, it's a daily affair. And it oh my goodness, it's a daily affair. I've learned that when I do it, my life is better. At the feet of Jesus, we find life. And if you think about Martha, bless her heart. Do you realize the cost to Martha of not sitting at the feet of Jesus? Oh, I'm not talking about the cost of the food. I'm talking about what she missed. You know, it's like we're trying to motivate you, encourage you to bring someone to the Dare to Share Evangelism Conference. You know what will make or break your decision to do that? Whether or not you've tasted of God. Whether or not you've tasted of the love of Jesus. See, because if I haven't tasted and seen how good the Lord is, if I haven't eaten of the bread of life, if I haven't drunk of the water of life, what would be my motivation to give up my whole Saturday? What would be my motivation for that? You see, it's like which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, it's like, oh my goodness. Let me tell you about some people who made their way to the feet of Jesus. I did a search, a Bible search, using the word feet.
Oh,
Let me tell you who made their way to the feet of Jesus and what happened when they did. In Matthew 15:30, the multitudes have come to Jesus. They've come to hear him teach and to preach. The text says, they laid their sick, their crippled, their blind, their mute at the feet of Jesus. It's interesting about the feet of Jesus, see, because what happens is oftentimes the only way someone is going to make it to the feet of Jesus is if someone who's already been there brings them. At the funeral, after the funeral, or during the before the funeral on Friday, one of the staff people came up to me, and I'm telling you, this place is, as I said earlier, it's packed. And this staff person says, "Oh, wouldn't it be so wonderful if it was this packed on a Sunday morning?" It's not going to happen. What are you talking about, preacher? What do you mean it's not? No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not in this day. You know why? Because we have become distracted. People inside and outside the church have become distracted. And when parents are distracted, you know what it does to their children? They're distracted. It's like a barrier. It's like, how can I bring someone who doesn't know Jesus if I don't know Jesus? You with me? It's like if we in the church, you know how Satan attacks people? Satan attacks people, particularly believers, not so much in the way we see in the movies. No, you know what Satan does is he distracts us. If he can distract us with our preparations, it really doesn't matter, see, what the preparation is. That's not the point. The point is, if he can distract us in our preparation, then we won't sit at the feet of Jesus. If I don't sit at the feet of Jesus, then I can't bring somebody to the feet of Jesus. They brought the crippled and the lame, and they sat them at the feet of Jesus in Matthew 15:13. In Luke 5:19, the passage we looked at last week, four men come up to the house to lay their friend at the feet of Jesus, but the crowd is a distraction. The crowd is a distraction, but they don't let the distraction keep them from laying their friend, opening the roof, taking the tiles off, laying their friend at the feet of Jesus. They don't let that distraction keep them from doing that. They lay him there in spite of all the effort that's necessary. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21, there's a synagogue leader named Jairus. And what the text describes is that Jairus comes to Jesus, running to Jesus, and the text says he falls down at the feet of Jesus, and then he implores Jesus to come and heal his daughter, who is dying of a fever. Jairus' distraction was that he was Jewish. And you see, he was a Jewish leader. He was a leader of the synagogue, and his distraction was that Jews were not supposed to be falling at the feet of Jesus, see? And so, but what Jairus did is, because his daughter meant so much to him, he laid aside the distraction of protocol. And what he did is he made his way and fell down at the feet of Jesus, and his daughter is healed. In Mark 7:25, there's a mother of a demon-possessed girl. She comes to Jesus, and the text says she fell at his feet. The text says that she begins to implore Jesus to heal her daughter of the demonic possession. Jesus says something that's very hard for us to understand. He says that he's come first to the children of Israel. Well, this woman is a Gentile. And what she says to Jesus goes something like this. She says, "But don't the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall off the table?" In other words, even though I'm a Gentile, can't you heal my daughter? And Jesus does. You see, her distraction was that she was Gentile. In Luke 7:38, there's an unnamed woman who comes to the house of Simon, who's a Pharisee, and she wants to see Jesus. It's only one problem. The woman is a prostitute. And Jesus is at the home of Simon, a leading Pharisee. And he's there because they have invited him in, and he's surrounded by all these Jewish dignitaries. And the woman is a prostitute. And what does she do? She makes her way through the crowd and falls behind Jesus, laying at his feet. And she washes Jesus' feet with perfume and then wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. And Jesus says to Simon, this woman whose sins are many are forgiven. And he says to the woman, you are forgiven. And this woman finds life at the feet of Jesus. In Luke 5, chapter 8, each one of these passages I'm giving you are people who come to the feet of Jesus. They're sitting at the feet of Jesus. So why should I make my way to sit at the feet of Jesus? Because when we sit at the feet of Jesus, life occurs, change occurs, blessings occur, prosperity occurs. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity. Things happen when you sit at the feet of Jesus. But for all of us, there will be distractions to keep us from doing exactly what will deliver us. It is as if there are certain principles that we can see from a passage like this one. And the principle is that precisely what God gives us to make us well, there will be some type of predicament, some type of obstacle, some type of barrier that causes us to somehow be tempted away from what will bring healing. And what Jesus says is that sit, make your way to my feet. Regardless of whatever the barrier is, whatever the obstacle is. In the 14th chapter of Luke, what happens is there's a great banquet. And the text says that many were invited to the banquet. But here's what the text also says. It says that when the invitation went out, that everyone began to make excuses. It says one person said that he couldn't come to the banquet because he just bought a field. He needed to go check it out. It's interesting that someone would buy a field before he checks it out. Then there's another person who says, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I want to check those out. Now, I don't know why those oxen had to be put to work on that day, but that was the excuse that the man gave. Then the next one is a classic. He says, I've just married a wife, and I can't come. The interesting thing to me is that, you know, if I had a party, and I invited people, and one of them said, hey, you know what? We're in the process of closing on this sale of property. I'm so sorry. We had planned on coming, but I can't come. I'd say, oh, okay, man, no problem. And then let's suppose another guy said, you know what? We have got this business deal that I have got to close today. The closing is today. I have got to be at this particular closing. I'd say, you know, okay, man, no problem. You know, and then suppose someone said, you know what? It is my wife's and my wedding anniversary. And I have got to take care of my wife on our anniversary. Or suppose they say, my mother's coming to visit me from South Carolina and I need to be with her. We need to have family time. You know what? You realize that all of those, you know what Jesus says to those three? He says this. Says to his servant, he says, then the head of the household became angry. Whoa. King, I must have read that wrong. That's got to be a typo. You mean God became angry when I told him I couldn't sit at his feet? What kind of deal is that? I thought he was a God of grace and love and mercy. Can't he just give me a little break every now and then or something? You know, he said, you know what he said? He says, the head of the household became angry. And he said to the servant, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. You know why he said that? He said, go invite the people that don't have anything to distract them, who are in need, who know that they're at the end of their rope and I'm the only one that can help them. He says, go invite them. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways, along the hedges, and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. You realize the importance. This is not about church attendance. It's not about church attendance. No, it's about feeding on Christ. It's like church attendance. Come on. You know what? It's like, if you look at this story, are you with me? You look at this story, there's nothing wrong with what Martha did. There's nothing wrong with let me back up a minute. There's nothing wrong about preparing a meal for Jesus. But let's suppose Martha did this. Let's suppose Martha did not get distracted with her preparation. Let's suppose she did this. Let's suppose Jesus and Mary are seated over here, and everybody's right over there, and Jesus is teaching. Let's suppose Martha does this. She's in here in the kitchen, she's cleaning up, she's fixing the food. She's got one ear. She's listening to one ear right there, okay? I know, look at that. Lord just popped right on, didn't he? And she ought to wake up. So, you know, Martha's over here, and let's suppose she really wants to be seated at the feet of Jesus. So what's she doing? It's a both and. She's doing both. What did he say? Oh, wow, look at that. You know, she stands there a little bit, and she stirs up a pot here, does it, you know? Oh, wow, that's neat. Man, that is amazing. Let me go put this pot on the stove. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got another one. Let me go back over here. Oh, what was that you said, Jesus? Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. Let me go back over here. No, you know what Martha does? You know what Martha does in her distraction? Where's Mary? That sister of mine, every time I got some work to do in the kitchen, she finds something she's got to do. That's what I did when I was a boy. After Sunday dinner, we had the big dinner. It's amazing how nature took place at that time. And I had to always go to the bathroom when it was time to do the dishes. Okay, now, Martha, what she does is, you see, the first thing is she's distracted in her preparation. What that means is Martha's so worried about getting the meal together that she begins to get upset on the inside. It's like the parable of the seeds. You know, one of the seeds, it says a seed was sown among the thorns, and it says that seed did not bear fruit. You know why? Because the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this world choke the seed. Okay, you know what? Martha can't hear Jesus for two reasons. Number one, because she's distracted because she's got to do the meal. Number two, what Martha does, she starts getting angry. She gets upset at Mary because Mary is not helping her. And so Martha becomes self-focused on what Mary's not doing to help Martha do what Martha's the one who offered to do in the first place. You see? And so she's upset. And she says, this is amazing what Martha says. Martha comes and says to Jesus, do you not care about me? If you care about me, you will tell my sister to get up and come help me in the kitchen. That's exactly what she said. Do you not care about me? If you cared about me, in fact, it's interesting. You realize that if you look in that verse, Martha never names Mary. She calls her my sister. She's doing that because she's so mad at her. And she's so mad at her because Martha has gotten distracted in the flesh. And she's upset because nobody's helping her. Now, don't for a moment think that what Jesus is saying is that what all moms need to do is to let everybody sit on the couch and watch the ball game while you're doing supper or dinner or lunch. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. He's not saying that one person is supposed to do all the work and they're supposed to do it without complaining. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is this. We have two options here. We have two options that are really good. Number one, he says, choose the good option. It is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Does that mean that we're not going to prepare the meal? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that in spite of the fact that we've got to prepare the meal, the best food is to sit at the feet of Jesus. He says the same thing in the sixth chapter of Acts. In the sixth chapter of Acts, what happens is, of course, Jesus has already ascended to heaven. And what happens is that there's a group of widows who complain because the disciples are not spending enough time with them. And they're not getting their food. And so the disciples say, you know what? We have to take care of the ladies that need the food, the widows that need the food. But what they do is that's the place where they appoint deacons. And what the text actually says is that they say that the reason for that is because the widows need to be served. However, if we serve in the ladies or the widows, what happens is we can't teach the Word of God. And we have to be able to teach the Word of God. I'll tell you something. If we hadn't had 15 people here Friday serving over 300 people, it would not have happened. And it's not about a preacher. What he's doing is he's showing the power of the Word and the importance of the Word. And what can happen to us is that we can be so distracted by everything else, even good church work. Musicians, okay? You stand up here on a Sunday morning and you praise the Lord. My question to you is, have you been seated at the feet of Jesus during the week? You see, because that's the greater portion. How can I give what I am empty of? So you're on the deacons, or you're a leader. Or maybe you say, well, Pastor, I don't want to be a leader, so I don't want to sit at the feet of Jesus. Look at who did sit at the feet of Jesus. Every time you see the phrase in the Scripture, whoever has sat there has left being blessed with life. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, you know what will happen? Is he will change your perspective on everything and everyone about you. It's like what happens is when we make God's Word the priority in our life, when we make prayer the priority of our life, what happens is God changes us from the inside. Because when we choose not to let the distractions take over, then we begin to experience the power and the presence of a living God. Martha was overcome by her worries, by her anxieties, by her anger, and in the process, they stopped up her ears. It's like when you come into the presence of Christ, where Christ is passing, where he's passing by, it's like you and I have a responsibility to check what's going on up here, to make sure we don't have a Martha problem going on up here. Where our worries and our anxieties are blocking out what God is saying. Oh, heading off school threats. Today's paper. You know what are we going to do? See. Okay, let's see. Can't do that. Okay, what are we going to do when our children don't sit at the feet of Jesus anymore? What do you think happens in our culture? What do you think happens in culture when the parents of kids do not sit at the feet of Jesus? If they don't sit at the feet of Jesus, the kids are not going to sit at the feet of Jesus. If kids go to school who have not sat at the feet of Jesus, you know what happens? Is darkness takes the place of light. The shootings, kids taking guns to school. You know, you look at that and you say, well, you know, the problem is we don't have enough security at school. And let me explain something. I hope that we can get more security at school, because we can't. God's not present there. Right now, even the Christian teachers, even teachers who are Christians, cannot open their mouth about God. And so it's like my wife, bless her heart, is a first grade teacher, and she cannot talk about her holy God. She can't help a child know what it is like to come to church and to experience God at church. She can't do that. No teacher can do that. Most government workers can't do that. You may not be able to do that in your work. And so what happens is there's an absence of God in our culture that it becomes a distraction to society. It's like society itself becomes a distraction. So God, no one can sit at the feet of Jesus. And then what happens is darkness begins to envelop our land. Darkness begins to envelop our land. Kids become violent. Children who don't sit at the feet of Jesus become teenagers who don't sit at the feet of Jesus. And teenagers who don't sit at the feet of Jesus are teenagers who oftentimes become violent. Do I want our schools to do more? Absolutely, I do. But I'm saying to you, if I have cancer, then in order for me to, what I want you to do is I want you to attack the cancer itself. The problem in our schools is we have a cancer and they can't attack the cancer. We can affect the cancer with the power of God. That's not even at their disposal. And so what they have to say is we have to make the teachers more alert. Listen to this. He says, as county officials develop procedures for preventing violence following the Stemmer's Run incident and a shooting at Perry Hall High, McGee and others are calling for a focus on improving communication among students, teachers, and administrators. So the answer to what we need is the teachers and administrators need to communicate better. I think that's good. I think we should do that. But I read the lead article. I believe it was on Thursday's paper, right after the gun incident, and the principal said, or the head administrator said something like, "We will improve the system." And the point is, okay, we will improve the system so that once we improve the system, then we won't have any gun problems anymore. I want you to know that should be a very false sense of security to you. What? Believers in Jesus Christ, you know what? What am I saying? I said, you know what? Don't let your distractions keep you from sitting at the feet of Jesus so much that you can't bring a child to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what I mean. We got this evangelism conference in a couple of weeks. What were you going to be there? Well, Pastor, you know, that's when my son plays soccer. Well, Jesus is going to be present, though. Well, you know, but that, you know, my mom's coming up and we can't be there. Jesus is coming. See, what we're trying to do is help you to be able to invite your friends and their children to sit at the feet of Jesus. And what happens is the headlines are not like this. He says, in many public schools, we've got so many kids that are coming to school without the kind of basic resources that families and communities have traditionally provided. Schools have to be more sensitive to the comprehensive needs of students because they're not being addressed anywhere else. Will you bring them to sit at the feet of Jesus? See, when you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, what happens is that you're able to praise God. You're able to see what God is doing. Let me close with one illustration. I was at Panera's Bread last week. And I was waiting on somebody for lunch. It's the one in Catonsville. And I'm standing at the front door waiting for the couple I'm going to have lunch with. And I noticed to my right is a young man. He's probably 21. And he's got a baby in the carriage, in the car seat thing. And, the lever is still up. And the little baby, I mean, is tiny. And this dad, the baby starts screaming at the top of its lungs. And I'm watching this, okay? I'm just like a few feet away. And I'm watching. And I'm just sort of smiling. And because he can't get the baby out of the carriage. He's trying to pick the baby up, but she's so small. She's so small, he's reaching down there trying to pick up that baby. And he can't quite get her. He just can't. He's trying. That baby's just crying louder. And I'm just sort of standing over there. I'm not doing a thing, just watching, you know. And you know what happens? See, because I think God has wired us. He's wired certain of us to see certain things and to be alert to certain things. You know what? Two ladies pass by. And they immediately stop. And they help this guy with his baby. They say, oh, look at this. You want somebody? Separate from one. They just both reach in there and pick up that baby. They hold that baby. That guy's like, whew. You know, and so I'm just standing there the whole time, and I never have yet to lift a hand. I'm just watching and observing. But these ladies are wired. So they hear that baby, and they go to that baby's rescue. You know what? As a member of the body of Christ, God has wired you. He's wired you to see people around you who need to sit at the feet of Jesus. But you have a choice like I did. I could just stand back there and watch them. Or I could reach in there like those mothers did and pick that child up. God's equipped you to do that. Only you can decide to do it. Let's pray.